maybe you were learning Megillah. The Gemara says in Megillah that you're not allowed to roll the Sefer Torah b'tzibur, because when you open up the Sefer Torah, Kimish and Itna Sefer Torah, also the Saper, you're not allowed to talk. I told you the Divrei Torah. People violate that all the time. People talk in the middle of the Sefer Torah. The Gemara says, even before they start learning, when they open up the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to talk. I feel the Divrei Torah. Certainly the Divrei Chol. So the Gemara says, the Gaboim have to shtel the Sefer Torah. In Yiddish, you call it to shtel the Sefer Torah. Have to roll the Sefer Torah in advance to the place where they're going to have to lay on Monday, or Thursday, or Shabbos, or Yom Tov, whatever it is, because they're going to take out the Sefer Torah, and it's in Dvarim, they're going to have to roll till the Parshas Yisro. So everybody's going to have to stand there quietly, and no one's allowed to say a word. But that's a Tircha de Tzibur. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. There's a violation of Tircha de Tzibur. That's a real Tircha de Tzibur, that people have to sit there and sit quietly and not talk at all. There's another kind of a Tircha, that's Rabbi Kiva. Let's say, if you're going to wait for the rabbi to finish the Shemana Esrei, and everybody has to stand there, no one can talk, you're not allowed to talk in between Shemana Esrei and Tachnon. The Gemara says a story in Bava Metzia that Ablezer ben Hurkanus was put in Cherem by his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law was the chief rabbi, because he used to disagree with the Chacham all the time. And he was outvoted. He was the minority. So the majority felt that he's ruining the authority of the Bez Nagot. He's always disagreeing with them. So they put him in Cherem. So he couldn't daven in shul. He had to daven home every day. So his wife was the sister of the chief rabbi. So his wife of Rabbi Blazer ben Hurkanus, would make sure that every single day she would talk to her husband right after he finished Shemana Esrei, before he said Tachnun, because the tefillah is only completed if you recite Tachnun immediately following Shemana Esrei. The Gemara even had a half a minute that if I said Shemana Esrei here, I can't walk to the other end of the shul to say Tachnun. I have to say Tachnun Dafka in the same location. The Gemara says, no, you can say Tachnun in a different location, but you're not allowed to talk in between. So every day, she would make her husband talk. Her blazer would talk in between Shemana Esrei and Tachnun, because she was afraid that her husband is going to pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that her brother, who was the chief rabbi, who had to put him in Cherem, that his brother should be punished for causing him aggravation, putting him in Cherem. So one day she thought that it was Rosh Chodesh. She was a day off. And she, Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Tachnun, so she doesn't have to talk to her husband. And it wasn't Rosh Chodesh, so her husband did say Tachnun. So that day, her brother died. So the Gemara says the moral of the story is that if you want your enemies to die, you shouldn't talk in between Shemana Esrei and Tachnun. The other moral, that moral is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The other moral of the story that is quoted in Shulchan Aruch is that you don't say Tachnun on Rosh Chodesh, and that you're not allowed to talk in between Shemana Esrei and Tachnun. Not allowed to talk in between Shemana Esrei and Tachnun. So the in the days of the Rishonim, the Arzarua is a sefer that was written in the days of the late Balei HaTesis. The Arzarua was the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutmerg. That was the end of the period of the Balei HaTesis. So they lived through the Crusades. He describes the incident that occurred, that they were davening on Shabbos morning, and they davened in Shacharis, and then in the middle of Shacharis they heard a noise outside that the Crusaders were coming. So everybody ran for their life. Everybody locked themselves into their basement, and they were there a couple of days until the Crusaders left the town. So they missed Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. So the next Shabbos, when they got together and they davened in shul, so they laid the two sefers. They laid last week's sefer and this week's sefer. We do the same when there's a big snowstorm, when there's a major snowstorm, and then no one went to shul. So then we would do the same, that the next Shabbos we would learn the two sedras like Mechubar. Like you have Matis Masai Mechubar, sometimes Mechubar. So even two sedras that are never Mechubar, so we learn it together. So in Shulchan Aruch they write that what if it was, they missed Pinchas, and next Shabbos is Matis Masai. So they learn three sedras, Pinchas, Matis Masai. So it says that's a Tircha de Tzibur. So you don't learn three sedras, that's too much. So they tell in their biography, that's a Tircha de Tzibur, not that the people are sitting there quietly the whole time. No. The people are listening to much more Kriyas HaTorah than they used to. Usually they used to hearing one Parsha HaShavua. Once in a while you have two. Matnas Masa is long, you have two. But to have three, that's also Tircha D'Tzibur. So that Tircha D'Tzibur, it's not that they're just sitting like dummies, quietly, and they can't do anything, they can't function. They're listening to much more Kriyas HaTorah than they used to. So that they quote in the biography of the Chazon Ish, that he was once put in prison by the British. He participated in a demonstration against Chilul Shabbos. The Jews were Chilul Shabbos. They were keeping their shops open in Bnei Brak. So he was tumbling together with the demonstrators. So the police put him in prison. So he missed Kriyas HaTorah two Shabbosim in a row. And then when he got out of prison, so he asked nine people whether they would mind listening to Kriyas HaTorah three Sedras. Yeah, so he got nine people who would agree. They knew who he was, the Chazon Ish. They'd be happy to accommodate him. They were not in prison. And they would be happy to accommodate him. So that's a Tircha D'Tzibura, to listen to a lot of Kriyas. It's not the same Tircha D'Tzibura as sitting quietly, not being able to do anything at all. So there we say that the Tzibur has the right to be Mochel on the Kodin, yeah. What is this whole Inyan of Tircha D'Tzibura all about? Why are we so makbed about Tircha D'Tzibura? So the pashtus is based on a din of Kavod HaBriyos. There is a din of Kavod HaBriyos. You have to give respect to all human beings, Jewish and non-Jewish. We assume because a man was created by Tzelem Elokim, you have to respect the Tzelem Elokim, Shebechol Adam. The Miri, in his introduction to Shas, writes, I remember my father had an old Meiri. The only Meiri he had was the Meiri on the Dorim and Nozir. He had an edition that was printed in Europe. So the Hakdamah Tishas was in the beginning of the Dorim. I think now they print at the beginning of Brochus, but in Europe apparently they used to print the Hakdamah Tishas in the beginning of the Dorim. So in his Hakdamah, he quotes a Medrash, the different opinions in the Medrash, how the Aseres HaDibros were engraved on the Luchas. So one version is that the whole Aseres HaDibros was on each of the two Luchas, on all four sides. Each one was a cube, and all from 1 to 10 was on all the four sides of the both cubes of Aseres HaDibros. That's not the popular version that we have on the Parechas. Usually have 1 to 5 on one Luach and 6 to 10 on the other Luach. So the Medrash has that opinion, 1 to 5 one Luach, 6 to 10 on the other. Then the Medrash says that there's a relationship between 1 and 6, and between 2 and 7, between 3 and 8, and so on. So the Medrash proceeds to explain what the connection is. So on the right-hand side, it says, Onechish HaMelkecha, then it says, Loisirtzach. What's so bad about murdering other people? Because other people were created by Tzalem Elokim. Whether Jews or non-Jews, they were created by Tzalem Elokim. So you have to have respect for human beings, because the human beings have a mitzvah of elokus in them. You're not allowed to kill people. But based on that there's an inyan of Kavod HaBriyos. There's a mitzvah zesei of Kavod HaBriyos, not just Loisirtzach. There's a mitzvah zesei of Kavod HaBriyos. In Parshas Amor, the Torah says that a Kohen is not permitted to be Metamei L'Meisim unless it's one of the seven relatives. So the Chaposik says if the Kohen's sister died and she was never married before and she was never Nivala, sometimes you can have married without Nivala, you can have Nivala without married. So the Pasuk says, Achos HaPsula Shalahoysa Le'ish, she's still a Psula and she was Lahoysa Le'ish, then Lo Yitamo. So the Gemara quotes Machloikas Satanan. How do you translate the pasuk Lo Yitamo? It's Machloikas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara quotes it on Dav Gimel in Soto, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion is Lo Yitamo is a Choiva. The Kohen is obligated to be Metamei to the sister and to the other seven relatives as well, all seven. Rabbi Shmuel understood the pasuk to mean Lo Yitamo. He's permitted, if he wants to, he's permitted to go to the funeral. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva had this machloikis apparently after the Churban HaBayis, but the Gemara recalls that it was an ancient machloikis, it was an ongoing machloikis, generation after generation. It was Man Bayis Sheni that had this machloikis, and there was a Kohen who didn't want to be Metamei to a relative of his, and then Timu Echa Bakan and Balkorcha, they were Metamei in Balkorcha, because the opinion, the Shita, the Psak HaMekubal always was like Rabbi Kiva. It was there are a lot of the things, a lot of the machlekes and Abai Barava were machlekes and throughout the generations. It didn't just pop up in the days of Abai Barava. So this machlekes also was an old machlekes. The Gemara says there are three psukim Gemara there in Saita, Dav Gimel, says that there are three psukim where there's a machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whether it's a reshus or a chayva. So the reason why it's in the beginning of Sota, Dav Gimel and Sota, because the pasuk says in Parsha Sota, and Parsha Nasa, if the husband is suspicious that there's something fishy going on with his wife, thinks the wife may be having an affair with someone else, so v'kine esishta, he wants her. V'kine means hasra. He has to warn the wife of history in Mishplani. So there's a machlek Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. Is that a chayva? Is it an obligation, a mitzvah on the part of the husband if he thinks his wife is acting improperly? He has to warn her of history in Mishplani. That's just a reshus. If he warns her, then you have a whole parsha of Saita. What's the din? But there's no mitzvah, there's no chayva. So that's a machlek Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel on that possible, whether it's a reshus or a chayva. And then the second argument is by lo yitama, whether it's a reshus or a chayv. And the third case is the pasuk in the end of Chumash Vayikra that says if you have an eved kanani, it's nachalta mazal nech ma'achrech m'nereshes achuz ha'solam lo'el b'hem tavoidu. Means an eved ibi goes free b'sheish or b'yoivel, whichever comes first, either the end of 6 years or the yoivel. Eved kanani doesn't go free b'sheish and doesn't go free b'yoivel. Eved kanani goes free b'rosh ha'ivar, if you're knocked out shem b'yayin. One of the other Chav Dalet Rosh Hashanah. But the Ebekani doesn't go free B'Sheish of the Yoivo. And that's the Pasuk. It's the Chalta Mosam. Mosam goes on Ebekani. It's the Chalta Mosam. Levnechem, Acharechem, Lereshes. Achuz HaSolam Le'olam Ha'em Tavoidu. So Rabbi Kiva says Le'olam Ha'em Tavoidu is a Chayvo. That you're not allowed to free an Ebekani. If you Meshachar Ebekani, if you give him a Shtar Shichur, he goes free. But you violated an Issa Rasei. Rabbi Shmuel says no. Rabbi Shmuel says that it's a reshus. It means if you want him, you can keep the Eved Kani forever. But if you want him, you may free him. So that's why the Gemara quotes all the three machlokes. And so we pass like Rabbi Akiva on all three. We pass them. The loy tama is a chayva. That if, even though the kohen is not permitted to be metami to any mason, but to the seven relatives, he's obligated to be metami. Whether he wants to or not, he's obligated to be metami. And that's the mitzvah kavod abrius. That is the source of the din. There's a mitzvah says it to show kavod abrius. Some people have the attitude as if the Judaism revolves about death, because they only know that you say yisker, yortzeit, and kaddish, and shiva. That's the least significant part of our religion. Our religion revolves about life. And this din, lo yitamo, imrif to show kavod ameisim, means even kavod ameisim. The Gemara assumes kavod chama, kavod achaim. Kavod achaim is more obligatory than kavod ameisim. If you look in the Mishnah Brura in Hilchas Yomtiv, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes dinim from the Gemara in Beitza, on the first part of Beitza. If someone dies on Yomtiv, to what extent are the Jews permitted to be mechalal Yomtiv to take care of the kvura? Moshe Feinstein says the whole thing doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. He says all the dinim in the Gemara that you do the kvura on the first day Yomtiv and the second day Yomtiv is because they didn't have any freezers. The body's going to start to decompose, going to snow. So b'zman hazeh, you have a freezer, so you put him in the freezer, you don't do any kvura on Yomtiv Rishon or Yomtiv Shen. That's what Moshe wrote like that. And then he says, someone's going to tie them, I'm changing the din, I'm going to get angry at me. He says, I'm not changing the din. He changed it in, that's all. He said it doesn't apply to money, that's all. I live in Washington Heights, so in Breuer's community, they don't follow anything that Ramosha says. So they still have funerals on Yom Tovish and on Yom Tov Shein. The only thing they follow from Ramosha Feinstein is that you can't make an Erev anywhere in Manhattan. That's the only thing they follow from Ramosha Feinstein. But everything else, they couldn't care less what he says. But in the Shulchan Aruch, before they had freezes for the dead bodies, so they quote all the dinim about Kvura and Yom Tovish and Yom Tov Shein. So there's a long Mishnah Brura there. He quotes a Meiri. The Meiri wrote a Sefer Mogen Avos. For many years, the people heard that there was a Sefer Mogen Avos. They thought it, by the Meiri, they thought it was Meiri's commentary on Pirkei Avos. That's a different Sefer. Meiri has a Beis HaBchira. Meiri wrote two Svarim. He wrote Beis HaBchira and he wrote Chidushi on Meiri. So Masechtos, you have both. You have two. So he wrote a Sefer on Pirkei Avos that's Beis HaBchira, separate. But the Mogen Avos are separate sefer. After the Ramban passed away, so the Talmidei HaRamban decided to move to Provence. Ramban lived in Spain, so they decided to move to Provence in southern France to learn by the Chachmei Provence. Because they were, I guess, I understand why, they were classmates of the Rashba. So they're going to learn by the Rashba. They know how to learn as they thought they knew how to learn just as Rashba was the Talmud of the Ramban. So after the Ramban passed away, the Rashba took over. So they're not going to learn by him. They were classmates. So they thought the grass is green on the other side. So they all traveled through Provence. So there were big machlekes in Minhagim. Because in Spain they had Piske Halacha and Minhagim one way, and in Provence, in southern France, they had other Minhagim. So Nimiri lived in Provence. So he wrote a whole sefer, Mogin Ovis, to defend Minhag Avosa from all of the attacks that the others had. I think he has 24 essays. So one of them is about whether he said Kel Melech Nemon before Kriya Shema to make up the 248 words in Kriya Shema based on Midrashim. And one is whether you say Bar Piro Eitz if you have fruits at the end of the meal. Different essays that they, one is in Tisha B'Av falls out on Matzoi Shabbos, whether you say Havdalah over a cup of wine, do you say Havdalah late Shabbos afternoon, do you say Havdalah on Matzoi Shabbos, give it to a child before Bar Mitzvah, do you say Havdalah on Sunday night, that's our practice. You don't say Havdalah at all, halakos, different cheetahs. So the Miri wrote this Sefer Magen Omer. So one of the essays is about a kvura on the first day Yontif, that the Gemara says you have to get non-Jews to bury the maize. So Jews are not allowed to do chilul Yontif on Yontif Sheni Shel Golias. It's only midirabbanon. Even Yontif Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah is only midirabbanon. So then the Jews are allowed to be mechala Yontif, but on Yontif Rishon the Jews are not allowed to do malacha for kvuras hameis. So there was a big machlekes which the Mishnah Berurah quotes Barichas. It refers you to this Magen Avos essay by the Meiri. Maybe Mishum Kavar Abriyas, the Jews are permitted to violate whatever is only the Rabbanon. Let's say to handle a mace is only Tilta Muktzah. Mace is Muktzah. To handle a mace is Tilta Muktzah. So let's say to wash the mace, to do the Tara. To cook water in order to wash the mace. To have a guy cook the water. That's a Malacha D'oraisa, to cook water. You're allowed to cook for a Kol Nefesh. But for Kvura, maybe not. So they'll have the goy cook the water, then they'll have the Jews do the tar, and have the Jews put on the tachrichim to dig the grave. That's a malach of chofer, choresh. So then they'll have a goy dig the grave, but let's say to carry the mace, maybe they have the Jews do on the first day. So that's a big machlokes. Why? Because the Gemara does say that Mishum Kavar Rabbi is he permitted to violate dinim de Rabbanan. The Gemara says Mishum Kavar Rabbi is he permitted to violate dinim de Rabbanan. But the Shaila is maybe the Gemara is talking about Kavod HaChaim, not about Kavod HaMeisim. Because Kavod HaChaim is much more chomer than Kavod HaMeisim. People have this mistaken attitude. When the Chevek Kadisha brings in the mace, everybody stands up. So what are we standing up? We never stood up while the guy was alive. Why should we stand up after he died? So the Bartanura on the Shnayas Bikurim explained, we're not standing up out of Kavod HaMeisim. When they bring in the baby, I was just at a bris yesterday. My daughter who lives in Rehovot had a baby boy last week. We just had a bris. When they bring the baby in, so everybody stands up. What are you standing up for the baby? He doesn't have a bris mila. Why should we stand up for the baby? He didn't do anything special. No. So the Bartanur explains, he's standing up out of respect for the kvata, who's bringing the baby to do the mitzvah. You stand up out of respect for the Chevek Kadisha, who are doing a mitzvah now. They're bringing in the mace to recite the Hespedim. This is based on the Mishnah in Bikurim, that when the farmers would bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, everybody would stand up out of respect for the farmers who are performing a mitzvah. If the Talmud Chacham walks by, and you're employed by someone else, you're not allowed to stand up, because you're mevatel a few minutes from the work from the balabas. If you're self-employed, you should stand up. But but if a person is, if a pilgrim is walking by and is bringing Bikurim, the Mishnah says you have to stand up out of respect for the Oisei Mitzvah. So that's what it says. That you have to stand up out of respect for the Kvata who's bringing the baby to have the bris, and out of respect for the Chevek Kadisha, not out of respect for the Mesa. People have this mistaken notion. Kavod HaMeisim is the most important mitzvah. Kavod HaMeisim is not the most important. Kavod HaChaim is more important than Kavod HaMeisim. The Chumash says, Lo Yitama, even Kavod HaMeisim. Kavod HaChaim or Kavod HaChaim. The Gemara in Ksubis has in the second parak, if you have a crossroads and there's a procession going with a funeral this way and they want to go that way, then there's a procession with the chasen kala going this way, they want to go that way to the hotel or to the kupa, whatever, and there's no green light, red light system. So who takes precedence? So the Gemara says the chasen kala take precedence. So the Shittim Kutbetsa says there, it's not a local din, it's a universal call. Whenever there's a conflict between Kavod HaChaim and Kavod HaMeisim, Kavod HaChaim takes precedence. Our religion centers about life, not about death. We even have dinim to sit shiva, even to show kavadam brias to a dead person, to a person that died. But it's more important to show karachim than to show kavadam mesim. So the that's why there's an inyan of tircha de tzibur. In allah be matriach de tzibur, that they should stand there like dummies, that he won't be able to talk at all when they're going to roll the sefer Torah in public. So when you once you open up kimish and niftach sefer Torah, you're not allowed to talk. So that's a violation of kavanah brias. Yeah, we violate it all the time. We don't treat people properly. It's not right. We're more makpid on kavanah mesim. Kavanah chaim, we're all mezalzel. Supposed to be more careful about kavanah chaim than about kavanah mesim.